It was ungodly. These men were so ungodly, they cursed. It was just awful. And he said, I was going to quit the next day. But the day before I quit, we were in the mess hall, and he was witnessing to a young man. The boy sitting next to him stood up. He said, "Don't give me any of that Jesus garbage. I don't want to hear it. I don't want anybody to give me this Jesus junk. Just shut up." And he was angry at the very mention of the name of Jesus. The next day, in fact, this boy already had his bags packed. They're out at the rig, and there was an explosion. All 10 of them were burnt severely. 2 of them were killed, burnt to a crisp. Just burnt up. And this young man was burnt over 80% of his body, and he was running away from the fire. And the young man who cursed him said, "I don't want to hear the name of Jesus." He saw him laying there, his hands, he was charcoal, black, and he was crying, "Help, help." And this young man pulled him away from the fire. And that boy was about to die. He was going to die within 3 or 4 seconds. And you know what the last thing he said? In fact, this young man said, "Brother Dave, all you could see was the white of his eyes and the blue. Everything else was black. His hands were, he was just frozen up." And you know what the last thing he said? "Do I still have a nose? I feel my nose is gone." He died saying, "Do I still have a nose?" And he knew he was dying. Went out into hell thinking of his nose. Only on 20% of his body. And he said, "Brother Dave, for 3 months, in fact, first 2 months, I had visions of hell every night." He said, "Don't tell me there's no pain in hell. Don't tell me there's no literal fire. God was showing me." He said, "God put such a fear in my heart. I know there's a living hell. I know there's an eternal hell." He said, "I just tasted of it."
And you know, I never heard hell preach like God showed it to me. But my friend, until God took me down there, you cannot imagine the shock and the reality of what a soul goes when it dies. What then? When the books are open, when the book of eternal life are open before Jesus Christ, and He alone has the power to cast your body and soul, quote, into hell. And again, I say, in the fires not quench, Mark 9:43-48. A place of weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25:30, Matthew 8:12, and Matthew 24:5. A place where sinners and unbelievers drank of the wine of God's wrath. Revelation 14:10. A place where the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. Revelation 14:11. And my friends, we must wake up before it's too late. And we all stand before the judgment seat of God. And they say, "Why didn't she warn us? What did she tell us about hell? Why, oh why, was these things not reported to us earlier?" My people, I'm here to thee that I'm sincere with what I say to thee. I'm in my sound mind. I've always been in my sound mind.
Christ's words in our text have a ring of divine certainty about them. "These shall go away into everlasting punishment." Hell is a real place. Men may laugh and they may make jokes about the existence of such a place as hell. Apostate religion may indeed attack this doctrine, but the doctrine of endless punishment, this doctrine that the lost will be suffering forever, is so solemn that man's natural instinct is either to ignore it, to not think about it whatsoever, or to deny it. But God's word will stand the test of time and eternity and prove that all of these people are nothing more than liars and deceivers. Hell is real. As a matter of fact, the strongest support for the doctrine of hell is coming from the teaching of Jesus Christ Himself.
You know, there are no tears in heaven and there are no smiles in hell. There's no sorrow in heaven, there's no joy in hell. I'll tell you who lives in hell. The fearful, the unbelievers, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the liars, the all have their part in the lake which burns with fire. And in verse chapter 22:15 of Revelation it says, without a dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whoso loveth and maketh a lie.
And Psalms 11:6, it shall rain fire and brimstone and a horrible tempest. That's what's going on down in hell. It's so hot. All these things should kill you, but you don't die from them. You have to keep enduring all these things. But they began to crush my skull. One demon grabbed me and tried to crush my head. And I was screaming and begging for mercy, and no mercy. About this time, they each grabbed an arm and a leg and were about to tear off my legs and arms. And I thought, I can't endure this. And something grabbed me all of a sudden and pulled me out of the cell. I know it was the Lord, but then I didn't know that. I was there as an unsaved person, so I didn't know these things. I just went there just as if I had never accepted the Lord. And I was placed over next to the fire that I had seen. I was standing alongside that pit, and I was beneath a cavern, like a giant cave tunnel going up. And alongside the fire, I could see through the flames just enough to see bodies, people in the fire, screaming for mercy, burning in this place. And I knew I didn't want to go in there. The pain I endured already was bad enough, but the heat and the flame, what I knew was worse. And these people were begging to get out.
Oh, how horrible to behold the torment of these souls. Lord Jesus, I have been here for 40 years since my death. Oh Jesus, have I not suffered enough for my sins? Jesus said, it is written, the just shall live by faith. All mockers and unbelievers shall have their part in the lake of fire. You would not believe the truth, for many times my people were sent to you to help you, to show you the way, but you would not listen to them. You laughed at them and refused the gospel. You mocked the Lord and would not repent of your sins. My Father gave you chance after chance to serve Him, yet you would not. My life was forgiven for you at the cross, but you would not repent of your sins and live unto God. My blood was shed for your sins that you might be saved from this place, my friend. If only you'd listen to me, Jesus wept. I know, Lord, the man cried, but I repent now to you. Too late, said Jesus, the judgment is set.
You missed it. But once you're there, it's no turning back. There's absolutely no turning back. You'd be there lost forever. And you know, you might be saying to yourself, well, I'm pretty good. I'm a pretty good person. I don't deserve that place. And you probably are pretty good compared to most people. But that's not what you need to compare to. We need to compare ourselves to God's standard. His standard is so much higher than ours. He says in the Word that if you lie once, just once in your whole life, that makes you a liar. If you stole one thing in your life, a paperclip, a couple minutes of your boss's time, anything, just once, that made you a thief. If you were angry without cause, if you didn't forgive someone that did something wrong against you, if you lusted after a woman, any of these things, if you just did it one time, that makes you a sinner, and you can't make it to heaven. So you see, all of us come short. We all fall short and can't get there on our own works. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Amen. So, it depends on how you compare. If you compare, it's like a woman that saw a flock of sheep on a hill, and they were all so white and beautiful against this green hill. She said, look at those white sheep, how beautiful they look, so white. She went to bed and overnight it snowed. She looked up the next morning and saw the sheep, and they all looked dull and dingy and gray compared to the white snow. So we need to compare ourselves to God, and His standard is way higher than ours. So we have need of a Savior. We can't get there on our own. God made it a free gift. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. He's the only way out of this place. So if there's anyone here that doesn't know the Lord, anyone here that has never really asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life, You never really came to the point where you had to voice it out your own mouth and say it and ask Him to come into your life. Would you stand up? For anybody here, would you stand up now for Jesus?
Oh, how horrible to behold the torment of these souls.